We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
They call you the Grill Master. You've seared the thickest porterhouse in the butcher shop. And as you lift that first forkful to your mouth, you savor the moment. To get amazing offers during the Mercedes-Benz summer event, like the 2019 C-Class sedan and GLC SUV, the perfect recipes of driving performance. Plus, you can enjoy 6 months of Sirius XM All Access included. The Mercedes-Benz summer event, now serving limited time offers on a select lineup of vehicles. Offers end September 3rd. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the August 26, 2018 edition of the Fantasy Football Report, a RotoViz radio news show covering the serious and mocking the ridiculous NFL news of the last week, brought to you by SquadQL. I'm Blair Andrews. You can follow me on Twitter at AmITheRealBlair, and my co-host is Hassan Rahim, who you can follow at HRR5010. Hassan, how's it going?
It's going fantastic, Blair. We're in the thick of draft season, and I'm having a blast. This is the best time of year.
Yeah, that's right. It's coming down to the wire. Get those, you know, all your best ball drafts finished up. A lot of preseason news to cover. You know, I'm really excited to be covering it with our guest today. Joining us on the show is Pat Fitzmaurice. Pat is a contributor to thefootballgirl.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Fitz_FF. Pat, thanks for joining us. How's it going?
Blair and Hassan, really great to be on with you guys. Always good to associate with RotoViz. You guys are always doing fantastic work on RotoViz Radio and with the articles. And I've referred to RotoViz as fantasy football's think tank before. And, you know, it really is. You guys are always churning out some forward-looking stuff. And, you know, it's an honor to talk to you guys.
Awesome. Well, definitely appreciate those kind words. I guess let's jump right into the first news item, probably the biggest item of the week. Marquise Lee was carted off the field tonight with a knee injury in the Jaguars' third preseason game. We don't yet know the severity of the injury, but it did look serious in real time. If you saw the video, the medical staff immediately called for the cart to come out. So, Pat, many were expecting Lee to kind of have wide receiver one duties in Jacksonville. So how do you expect targets to be distributed in his absence?
Yeah, so I guess I too expected Lee to lead the Jaguars in targets. And I would say now that it's probably going to be between Keelan Cole and Dede Westbrook. And maybe you guys feel differently about that. I'd be interested to get your take on that. But, you know, and I was kind of fading Westbrook a little coming into camp and thought that maybe he would be the odd guy out, you know, of the primary four with Lee, Cole, Westbrook, and Dante Moncrief. But now I kind of see Moncrief as being the third guy. You know, I just the reports have been pretty positive on Westbrook, and it does seem like he is the closest thing they have to a possession guy now in Lee's absence. You know, a smaller possession guy, maybe sort of along the lines of a Jamison Crowder, with a little more, maybe even a little more juice in his legs. But so I don't know. Right now, I think in PPR leagues, pretty close with Cole and Didi. You know, I feel a little bit more confident in Cole. You know, in standard leagues, I would certainly want Cole. But, you know, those two and Dante Moncrief, kind of a distant third. I'm just not a Moncrief fan. And then, you know, maybe this even opens the door a crack for DJ Chark to have some sort of minor rookie year impact. What do you guys make of the Westbrook Cole Moncrief trio?
Yeah, I pretty much agree across the board. You know, a lot of people are, I think, expecting or were expecting Moncrief to come in and kind of demand some targets. They did pay him, but like you said, it's not actually that I've never been a Moncrief fan. I did like him as a prospect and, you know, as a rookie, but he's just, I think we've seen enough of him in the NFL to know pretty much what he is. You know, I did some work on wide receiver breakouts, and basically for someone drafted with his draft capital to be going into their fifth season now, I believe, and not to have broken out is a pretty bad sign. You know, the chances of him actually breaking out and doing anything significant are pretty low. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think Cole and Westbrook are my two favorites here. Probably lean a little bit toward Cole, although Westbrook, you know, in the games he played last season, he was getting a lot of targets, I think about 7 per game. So, yeah, that could be significant.
Yeah, I'm with you guys in terms of the receiver core. One thing that I'm really fascinated and I'm kind of intrigued by is Leonard Fournette. He saw more targets than you think he would last season. I believe he saw 43 in 12 games. I think he might actually see a slight bump, maybe a target or two extra per game. The guy who this legitimately probably benefits the most is on the tight end. Austin Seferian Jenkins, we thought he was going to be buried, but it looks like with Marquise Lee's unfortunate injury, that frees up a significant chunk of the target share. And like you guys mentioned, there's a, you know, you've got Cole, you've got Didi. Didi showed a little bit more like last season when he was down the stretch, still not very much. Austin Seferian Jenkins has also shown flashes of competence as a tight end. And if they opt to deploy him more as a receiver, he's certainly the guy who you want to go with over the middle, just in terms of a pure slot guy. What do you guys think on that one?
Yeah, I'm kind of buying that. I mean, I think the ASJ thing is kind of interesting. Like, I wasn't really on him that much before this, but now this might pique my interest in him just a little bit. You know, and it's possible you're right about Fournette's targets ticking up a little as a result of this.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't really been on ASJ either, although you know, with the person who I guess was supposed to lead the team in targets down, surely there's going to be more opportunity going his way. Bortles, I think in the past, hasn't really used his tight end that much, although I guess it's arguable whether he's had someone as talented as ASJ. So, yeah, I don't quite know.
Ravens' first-round tight end Hayden Hurst will undergo a procedure and likely be out 3 to 4 weeks. Hurst reportedly has a stress fracture in his foot and will need to undergo a procedure to have a screw inserted. His 3 to 4 week recovery timetable leaves him highly doubtful for the Ravens' season opener versus the Bills. Pat, this is an offense that has featured the DE very heavily in the past, but is going into 2018 with two rookies and a handful of veterans who haven't made an impact in the NFL as of yet. With Hurst out, how do you expect the Ravens to address the DE position to start the season, and how do you think the targets shake out in this receiving core?
So, yeah, this is it was kind of an interesting tight end situation to begin with, you know, with the two rookies, and we sort of know what the reputation is for rookie tight ends and you know, mostly underachieving and just kind of taking a year to get their legs under them. So now, you know, with that injury, and by the way, I think I've seen on Twitter, Dr. David Chow said he was betting the over on that 3 or 4 week estimate. So this could really very well be a 2 month injury for Hurst. And we, you know, don't see him until sometime in mid October at the earliest. But yeah, so, I mean, you've got Mark Andrews. I kind of think, you know, I don't know that he is going to ever be fantasy viable this year, but Nick Boyle is probably going to finish as their, I'm guessing, you know, target and reception leaders among tight ends, just because I think he's going to be their snap leader and be on the field the most. And it's interesting to see if this will save a roster spot for one of these other guys who, you know, the Ravens have been shoveling coal into the tight end furnace for so long now, and they've still got some of these holdovers. Max Williams, 2X Max, who was supposed to be their answer at tight end, but, you know, has been hurt and has not panned out. Darren Waller, who, you know, was kind of like my dynasty league super stash for a while, just with his size and athletic profile, a really interesting guy. Vince Maley, the converted wide receiver, he's still kicking around, I think. So it'll be interesting to see if any of those guys can maybe cling on. But ultimately, I think from a fantasy perspective, you know, even in the deep dynasty leagues, it's hard to see value beyond the two rookies, and it's hard to see any immediate value for any of these guys. I mean, you know that somehow these tight ends are probably going to squeeze out 70 catches and 70 yards this year, but I think instead of it being chopped maybe two ways, it's going to be maybe minced into a lot of very small pieces, and, you know, maybe some of these little minced pieces even go to the wide receivers and running backs and the spillover. But yeah, it's just kind of not a real encouraging usage picture at tight end for the year 2018.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's not, definitely not a pretty picture. I mean, you know, Hurst was somebody who I thought was kind of overdrafted anyway in the first round, for sure. So even coming into the season, I wasn't necessarily convinced he would be you know, like an impact player for them right away. I mean, not only being a rookie tight end, but also probably not being maybe as good as his draft capital would suggest. You know, I kind of like Mark Andrews a little bit. I don't know. He's another, you know, again, with rookie tight ends, you just don't know what to expect. There seems to be, well, except for last year, I guess, but yeah, although Ben Watson was good, wasn't he? Yeah, there seems to be always somebody who kind of emerges. Flacco just likes to throw to tight ends. So, you know, you kind of want to find that guy who can maybe give you a few weeks of value off the waiver wire. But I don't know. Max Williams is a little bit interesting just because he's missed a lot of time. He's, you know, he was really young coming out of college. He hasn't quite lived up to the potential that we hoped, and tight ends can take a while. So I don't know. Do you guys have any interest in him at all?
I just want to note one thing about Hurst that we might not have discussed, is that the tight end model that John Lipitsky ran a few months ago begged Hurst to be a bust. And I noticed that this is actually kind of fascinating in terms of that, because tight end model only notes that Gesicki and Goddard are the two, Dallas Goddard, are the two tight ends that are actually have the best probability of being a long-term NFL starter. And John, in his article, which is free, you can go find it on rotoviz.com, it's about the tight end model predicting the stars and busts of 2018, he makes a really good note about Hayden Hurst and his lack of athleticism, specifically that, you know, if you're sick and tired of hearing about tight ends who were former basketball players, well, you're in luck, because this guy's a former baseball dude.
Yeah.
And he was overage too. And I mm-hmm. kind of hard to understand why he was, you know, pegged as the top tight end for the Ravens in this. I thought Andrews was actually the better tight end prospect. So, but getting back to your question, Blair, about Max, not really. I mean, I kind of feel like I know the injuries have slowed him a little bit, but, you know, there have been brief periods of health, and he hasn't really been able to make any sort of impact, or just, you know, even fleeting moments where he turned your head with a catch or two. And I guess, I don't know, I just haven't seen anything like that from him. So, you know, I kind of think if anyone has value here, it might be Boyle. Just as and boy, not real attractive value. I'm not sure you could ever feel real comfortable putting him in your starting lineup, but it wouldn't surprise me if he led the team in tight end targets this year.
Do you think that this opens up more targets for someone like Crabtree?
Yeah, it might. You know, I mentioned that, you know, and I think with projections, I maybe did have the tight ends catching, like, it was like something 69 for 710 collectively or something like that. And, you know, maybe that gets cut down to, you know, 60 and 600. So, you know, maybe there's a little extra to go around for Crabtree and John Brown and, you know, our friend Buck Allen, whoever, whoever is left over to catch the passes. But, you know, as Hassan mentioned, you know, Flacco does kind of like to throw to his tight ends, or at least has in the past, and it's floated, you know, some pretty impressive value for some of his past tight ends. So, you know, maybe there is someone who's going to come out of the ether here and be unexpectedly valuable from a fantasy perspective. But right now I'm just kind of not seeing it.
All right, before we get into No Shit Should Know, I want to leave a quick reminder that you can support the RotoViz Radio Network and our 10 shows per week on Patreon. By doing so, you'll gain exclusive access to RotoViz Live, our weekly Sunday morning video show answering all your fantasy questions. Patronships start at just $5 a month and provide exclusive access to RotoViz Live. That's 4 shows per month on top of 40 podcasts for just $5. Become a RotoViz Radio patron today to join an exclusive community of listeners, access premium content, and do your part in helping the network to grow and continue to produce high-quality industry-leading programming.
Yeah, and speaking of exclusive, as a loyal podcast listener, you can get a 30% off a RotoViz NFL pass right now. It's available through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. The season is almost here. Make sure you're ready. Gain unlimited access to all of our NFL content and tools. You'll get amazing value. You support the pod. And trust me, these tools are going to be invaluable when you get into your in-season work. And just go to rotoviz.com/podcast. Please subscribe.
All right, now let's get into No Shit Shit No. First item up, Terrell Pryor caught 2 of 2 targets for 16 yards and a touchdown in Friday's preseason game against the Giants.
I'll say no shit on this one because he is, you know, he's still got that very impressive athletic profile, the size, the speed, the agility, and has, you know, a 1,000-yard season on his resume. So I guess if he's healthy and on a team with opportunity at wide receiver, it's not a surprise to see him flash. And even though he's not really a guy I'm chasing and not really a guy I see as being draftable in redraft in all but the deepest of leagues, it would not surprise me if he was a guy people had waiver wire interest in at some point this season and, you know, possibly very early in the season.
Really, what makes this Terrell Pryor news really fascinating to me is just this Jets' wide receiver core may look kind of barren on the outside, but man, like, if Darnold is for real, you've got Robbie Anderson, Quincy Enunwa, Jermaine Kearse, Terrell Pryor, who could all be fantasy viable this year, hopefully.
Yeah, that's a good point. If Darnold is what they think he's going to be, I mean, if his arrival is sort of ahead of schedule, you're right. There's going to be, I think where everyone only saw Anderson as fantasy viable, there could be multiple guys from that wide receiver core who, you know, can contribute this year.
Chris Godwin got 3 of 3 targets for 27 yards and a touchdown in Friday's preseason game versus the Lions.
No shit. He's really good. It's going to be interesting to see if he can squeeze DeSean Jackson out of the picture this year. You know, I think a lot of fantasy owners are kind of trying to calibrate that right now, like knowing that Godwin is eventually going to be someone they're going to be playing every week without question in fantasy football. But does it happen this year, or, you know, do the Buccaneers have to do some house cleaning before it happens? So, you know, I guess that's the big question. But I think he's going to have some good weeks this year. It's just a matter of whether you can start him with any confidence at any point this season.
Yeah, from a best ball perspective, our MFL 10 ADP app actually has got DeSean Jackson and Chris Godwin going side by side. Like, DeJax's average draft position is 154 and Chris Godwin's is 162. These guys are being drafted almost back to back in terms of wide receivers. It's going to be really fascinating because, like, the public clearly thinks that Chris Godwin's in line for a bigger role. I don't know if the targets are there and how that shakes out with the tight ends and Mike Evans, along with the running backs, but it's going to be interesting from a best ball perspective, that's for sure.
Sean had an article up today, actually, about second-year breakouts, and Chris Godwin is someone who ends up looking really good in a number of metrics that sort of predict second-year breakouts. So, yeah, he's someone I'm all over. Isaiah Crowell rushed 4 times for 6 yards in Friday's preseason game against the Giants.
I'll say no shit. I think it's going to be messy. I've wanted to like Crowell as sort of the unattractive, attractive play, just who was going to get volume and, you know, would be an easy target because he wouldn't be sexy or heavily pursued. And, you know, maybe the Jets like Bilal Powell, maybe they don't. I mean, their, you know, level of commitment to him has been a matter of some debate this offseason, but I just think it's going to wind up messy. I think it's going to be both Crowell and Powell, and who knows, maybe Elijah McGuire comes back. Maybe Trenton Cannon makes the roster, and maybe, oh my gosh, I'm sorry, who did they just sign? I'm forgetting the new
Charkendrick West.
Oh, Chark West. Yes, thank you. You know, maybe Chark pushes for playing time too, but you know, now I guess I'm just, my enthusiasm for Crowell that I had in about April is definitely faded some.
Several Patriots beat writers said Friday night they expect Eric Decker will be cut.
Yeah, no shit. A very viable player just a couple of years ago has not aged very well. You know, the years have added up pretty quickly, and I wish the Patriots would just go ahead and sign Dez Bryant already, because it seems like it's inevitably headed that way. But I don't know, maybe they won't, and they'll you know, cobble it together with what they have in house. But you know, it just seems like with one veteran not working out, it's only a matter of time before they seek the services of another.
Cordarrelle Patterson caught 5 of 9 targets for 37 yards in the Patriots' 3rd preseason game.
No shit, guys. He was my final round pick in the Scott Fish Bowl for a reason. And this is it. So maybe I should be hoping the Patriots do not call Dez Bryant and use Cordarrelle and give him some significant snaps on offense. But I do think he's a worthwhile flyer in deep fantasy leagues, and someone people, you know, he's not going to go in a typical 12-team, 16-player league. He's not going to be drafted in a league like that. But he's definitely a guy worth watching, because a guy with his physical traits and now playing for a franchise that knows what it's doing, you know, look out. And we've seen it on a couple of plays in the preseason and what he can do, you know, once he has the ball in his hands. So I'm kind of interested to see where this is going to go.
Philip Lindsay rushed 5 times for 31 yards and hauled in his only target for 18 yards in the Broncos' 3rd preseason game.
No shit on this one, too. I don't know. I think Philip Lindsay is maybe starting to build a case that he's better than Devontae Booker. Although, you know, Devontae Booker seems to have a lot of leash with the Broncos organization. But it's going to be interesting to see how that backfield shakes out, because it seems like the way we, the public, perceive it might not be quite the way they perceive it in-house. So I think he's going to make the team for sure. Lindsay will, but be interesting to see if he can push Booker for number two duties. If in fact Booker is the number two, for all I know, the Broncos might consider him number one right now. And, you know, preseason snaps have been not entirely clear on that. So it'll be interesting to follow.
Josh Doctson was not targeted in the Redskins' third preseason game.
No shit. You know, I'm just not sure that I'm ready to invest in him. You know, despite the college credentials and, you know, the speed, we have not seen enough from him. It's been said, and at first I thought it was maybe just sort of a idle talk that his style would not fit well with Alex Smith, because Alex Smith didn't necessarily like throwing into tight windows, and Doctson was kind of a win at the catch point, throw it up and let him get it type of receiver. But I just don't feel a great deal of confidence right now. You know, maybe if Jordan Reed sustains another long-term injury, that might be different, but right now it's hard to see Doctson being someone you want to target, and you know, someone you're hoping you can get 70 or 80 yards from every week. I'm just not seeing it.
Yeah, back on the flagship show when they were doing their hot takes episode, I actually called in, and my hot take was that Ryan Grant was going to outscore Josh Doctson in PPR leagues this year, which sounds hot, but last year, Brian Grant actually did just that, despite playing significantly fewer snaps. They both played 15 games. Grant saw 60 targets. Doctson saw 68. Doctson posted slightly over 450 yards and 6 TDs on those 68 targets, and Grant posted 550 yards and 4 TDs, but he had more fantasy points than him last year. He had 10 more fantasy points than him over the course of the regular season, and Josh Doctson's ADP was through the roof last season. I just don't understand why we want to bother with Josh Doctson, especially now that he's going to be competing with Paul Richardson, who is someone that Sean Siegel has indicated as a fifth-year breakout, where he's now shifted teams from Seattle to Washington. It's quite likely that he's the guy that breaks out. And, you know, given the current ADPs are fairly depressed, I find myself taking Paul Richardson over Josh Doctson 100% of the time in best balls. And I've invested heavily in Richardson as well in a bunch of redraft leagues.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I, you know, starting this off season when, you know, both of those guys, when Richardson went to the Redskins, I was sort of torn on how to go with them and would always wind up putting them pretty close to each other in the rankings. But now there's a definite gap with Richardson well ahead.
Ronald Jones rushed 6 times for 7 yards while catching his lone target for 37 yards in Friday's preseason game versus the Lions.
I feel like I should say shit no for Ronald Jones having his greatest accomplishment in that game come in as a receiver. Kind of unexpected, since his passing game chops were knocked by running backs coach Tim Spencer this past week, and it just doesn't seem like he's going to provide a lot of help there. But still though, the 6 carries for 7 yards is not very encouraging, and it's just more bad news for Jones this year. And now, I mean, it just seems like it's inevitable that he's not going to overtake Peyton Barber and, you know, at most, you know, forge some sort of committee here. But you know, it's not looking good. I'm almost starting to wonder if Jaquizz Rodgers is going to have more value in that backfield than Jones will this year.
Jonathan Stewart rushed 3 times for -7 yards in Friday's preseason game against the Jets.
Yeah, no shit. It's been not that great a preseason, I guess, for Stewart. And it seems that he is, fallen to number three on the depth chart here. So, any thought that he was going to be, this backup and change of pace guy on the Giants is pretty much gone now. I don't think he really has any fantasy value whatsoever.
Quincy Enunwa started Friday's preseason game against the Giants, catching two of three targets for 28 yards.
Yeah, no shit. We talked about this earlier. You mentioned it, Hassan, that there might be multiple fantasy viable wide receivers on the Jets now, and Enunwa is certainly one of them. So, it will be interesting to see how things evolve, but. I guess for me, Enunwa is number two there behind Robbie Anderson. I think he's kind of an interesting fantasy guy in the late rounds of a deeper draft.
Yeah, I actually think Enunwa maybe he's one of my favorite late round values at wide receiver, and it's probably the reason I don't have any Terrell Pryor. But I guess there's some uncertainty there, so I should maybe rethink that, but I definitely like Enunwa this year.
Yeah, I've been smashing Enunwa as well as a late round flyer.
Yeah, I mean he was genuinely good a couple of years ago, and that it would not surprise me to see, like you said, if Darnold is in fact the real deal and is ready to have a decent rookie year, then he could be a big part of this offense.
Curtis Samuel caught three of four targets for 58 yards in the Panthers' third preseason game.
I'll say shit now. He is capable of making some eye-opening plays. Samuel was, just electrifying at Ohio State. But I still feel like he's kind of miscast as a wide receiver. Like, I don't know why they didn't just make him like a scat back coming out of college and why they thought this, the full-on conversion to wide receiver, I feel like you'd be better off using him in this jack-of-all-trades role. And, if he is going to break through, if someone's going to find a role for him and make him fantasy viable, I don't think it's going to be Norv Turner. So I'm just not that optimistic about his prospects for this year. I think at some point he might pop if he winds up in the right role on the right team, but I don't know if it is with Norv Turner in Carolina in 2018.
Yeah, that Carolina receiving core is very, very full right now. You've got, not only do you have Christian McCaffrey, who seems to be their every down slash workhorse, he's coming on like that, and looks like he's in line for not only a massive rushing workload, but a massive receiving workload. I don't know how you divide the targets out between DJ Moore, Greg Olsen, and Funchess, and I can't see how Samuel really pops this year without an injury to one of the starters.
Right. As in that conventional receiver role, I'm just not sure that he can win there. It does not seem like, I think you've got to be a little, you've got to kind of scheme for him a little bit, and it doesn't seem like they're going to use him in that sort of way.
Evan Ingram has been diagnosed with a concussion and is week to week.
Shit, no. It's kind of unfortunate that he is going to maybe miss time, and I wonder how. It's going to be interesting to see how the targets now shake out with the Giants. I think what's interesting is that it was always kind of a challenge to do projections for the Giants because it was hard to pull off and get enough, get the numbers you thought befitting numbers for Odell and for Saquon Barkley and for Ingram and even for Sterling Shepard without having Eli Manning, without crediting him with Aaron Rodgers type numbers. And, I hate to say it, And of course, a concussion is, it's probably just going to be a 1 or 2 week thing. And I'm sure Ingram's not going to miss any time. But, you know, like, we're off, I feel like, on something. Some one of these guys is not going to pull the numbers that we think. And, you know, I've kind of been hesitant to take numbers away from Beckham or Barkley. And it's usually Ingram who I give the haircut to in projections, which is why he's like outside my top eight, I think, at tight end this year. You know, as good as he was, and man, I mean, he was just so impressive last year, but it's hard to see how the targets and receiving yards are allotted in this offense without like someone taking a hit somewhere.
Out of curiosity, how would Ingram's numbers shake out if Shepard is the guy that gets the haircut? Because early last year, Blair wrote a fantastic piece on Evan Ingram as possibly having the athletic measurable comparables and the production of several elite wide receivers. And, you know, there's a possibility in the recesses of my mind where I feel like he's going to just take over the Brandon Marshall role that Marshall was brought into play. The team is currently carrying a bunch of actual tight ends that they're going to have for pass blocking. They put a lot of money in on the offensive line, so hopefully that frees up Ingram to actually run more routes. And I know a lot of people talk about how Ingram received this massive target share because OBJ wasn't there. There was no real running back to give targets to, and Shepard missed time. So I was curious about how that would work out if Shepard is the guy that actually got the haircut, because the way I look at this this team, I just can't really see where Shepard will win when Odell Beckham is on the field, because Odell can play outside and inside, and if he's playing on the inside, where do you put Shepard, stuff like that?
Right, yeah, Shepard, I mean, Shepard is definitely at his best as a slot receiver, and Beckham does his best work out of the slot, and, you know, if you're going to pick one guy to put in his comfort zone, obviously it should be Beckham. So, yeah, I mean, maybe if Shepard sort of disappeared from this offense to some degree and only wound up with 300 or 400 yards, I mean, maybe Ingram could still be a 700 or 800 yard tight end. You know, but I think even if he does stay a 700 or 800 yard tight end, we're still looking at, you know, really big time projections for Eli Manning. So maybe the answer is we should be considering Eli a quarterback one. I don't know, but, it does seem excessive, but I actually did draft Eli in the Scott Fishbowl too. So, you know, I joke about it a little, but it does seem like Eli could kind of fall ass backward into 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns this year.
Jeremy Hill rushed 9 times for 25 yards in the Patriots' third preseason game.
Yeah, no shit, kind of a Jeremy Hill line. Going to be interesting to see. Everyone perceives this to be a battle between Mike Gillisley and Jeremy Hill for one roster spot. And, you know, if it is, I'm not sure if I think people tend to favor Hill there, but I'm not sure if that's the way the Patriots see it. So it will be interesting. I did see, I read something interesting on Pro Football Focus with Pat Thorman, a very sharp dude, making a bold prediction that different Patriots lead, for his like 10 bold prediction column, that 10 or that different Patriot running backs would lead the team in fantasy points every month of the season. And, so I guess, you know, maybe Jeremy Hill was projected as the leader for one of those months. So it wouldn't be the strangest thing. You know, I know people sometimes run screaming from the Patriots backfield when they really shouldn't. But, you know, Hill is, I think, the guy who could definitely be the wild card and throw things into confusion. You know, if he's got a bigger role than we think he's going to have, then, you know, maybe Burkhead is not the value we think he is. And, you know, maybe that bodes really poorly for Sony Michel, despite his first round draft status. So, you know, I don't know if that's going to happen, but this Hill Gillisley thing is going to be interesting, an interesting decision for the Patriots.
Hill is someone I took at the almost at the end of the Scott Fish Bowl, so I'm really hoping he sticks.
Yeah, it seems like he's the favorite there.
Emmanuel Sanders hauled in 4 of 8 targets and for 61 yards and rushed for a 27-yard touchdown in the Broncos' third preseason game.
No shit. You know, one of the best values. I've told a lot of friends who are doing their home league drafts to take Sanders, that, you know, in every home league, he's going to go about 3 rounds later than he should. And, you know, would not be a surprise if he outproduced Demaryius Thomas this year.
Alfred Morris rushed 17 times for 84 yards in the 49ers' third preseason game against the Colts.
No shit, just because there are so many injuries in that backfield right now. They needed someone to carry the mail. And, you know, it's with McKinnon hurts and Breida hurts, they kind of almost need a different look in that backfield anyway when those two guys are healthy again. They've got, you know, McKinnon is obviously a great athlete and, you know, excellent in the passing game, but it kind of remains to be seen whether he can hold up as a runner, as a guy given a lot of carries. Maybe he can't at his lighter weight. And, you know, Burita's certainly not a big guy either, and he's, you know, primarily a pass catcher first, I guess. And, you know, McKinnon is also Jeremy McNichols is also kind of in the mix, and, you know, another slightly smaller back. But I guess they do need a thumper in this backfield. Like, that's the one sort of missing ingredient, someone who can, you know, knock someone over. And maybe Morris plays that role for them. You know, it's possible he plays a much bigger role than anyone is expecting, and he's got some pretty good seasons on his resume, and I know he graded out pretty well last year in his short stint with the Cowboys. So, yeah, I could actually see Morris being fantasy relevant this year.
Man, that's one way for Joe Williams' fantasy stock to finally die off.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like he might go on IR again for a second straight year. So, you know, even you'd have to be quite the Joe Williams truther to still be holding in Dynasty if he goes on IR again this year.
James Washington left Saturday's third preseason game with an abdominal injury and will not return.
Shit, no, that's really depressing, or it will be if it's serious at all. Hopefully it's not. You know, maybe it's just a strain or something and he'll be good to go for week one. But he's shown us so much, and you know, the Steelers wide receiver core could just be filthy good this year.
The same report noted that he was actually running behind Justin Hunter in the preseason game. Does that concern you at all?
Not really. You know, I think we've seen what we're going to see from Justin Hunter, the, you know, a 9-route guy who can run past people and proceed to drop the ball when it's put right in his mitts. So, yeah, I'm not too worried about that. I don't know why the Steelers were doing that with snaps in the preseason, but I think Washington has shown enough to make it pretty clear that he's the number three wide out there.
Stephon Diggs caught 4 of 8 targets for 51 yards in the Vikings' third preseason game against the Seahawks.
No shit. You know, for me, he is a back-end wide receiver one. You know, I think I, as of now, have him at, like, wide receiver 11 or wide receiver 12. You know, I would rather have him, I think, than Adam Thielen this year, either in PPR or standard. Maybe that's the wrong call, but I slightly prefer Diggs. I think I slightly prefer him to Doug Baldwin at this point, just because of the Baldwin knee scare. Even though it seems like Baldwin's going to be okay, I think I would rather go with Diggs. You know, wheels up for him. I just hope he can stay healthy, because I think if he plays 16 games, he's going to put up some really impressive numbers.
Yeah, I've been saying this all off season, mainly to myself, but if Diggs smashes this season, like he's going to be a first rounder next year, especially if he's proven the ability to stay healthy. It's the health thing that you brought up that's really worrying. He goes back to college where he has health concerns. He hasn't been able to put it all together in terms of that, and it seems to be, luckily, it's not as bad, but hopefully it's not nagging, and it's hopefully something that he's able to work through, because when he's on the field and healthy, he's absolutely electric.
Yeah, the soft tissue stuff is always a concern when a guy has like recurring soft tissue injuries. And hopefully he's not a guy who just is never able to achieve liftoff because of the injuries. But I don't think the talent's in doubt at all.
I've heard a lot of people lately asking kind of what draft slot you like to have in fantasy drafts this year. What's the best? And for a long time, I was like, oh, it doesn't matter. I can make a team I like from any slot. But actually, like lately, I've noticed if I'm drafting toward the end of the first round, it's really hard to get digs unless you take him in the early second. So I don't like that.
Right, he is. And as if drafting 1, 2, 3 wasn't good enough, often Diggs falls there. So you can,
Yep.
I picked first in one league and was able to get Diggs coming back around. So that's a pretty good start when you can come out of a the first 3 rounds with and I can't remember who my other guy was, but Gurley, Diggs, and Joe Mixon or someone like that. But yeah, not bad if you can get Diggs late in the second, but I think he's almost creeping into the mid second at this point in a lot of leagues.
Want an unfair advantage to dominate your fantasy football league? Well, look no further and download SquadQL, the only mobile app you need to crush your friends and rivals this year. SquadQL recommends the best starting lineup for you each week based on your starters, bench players, and free agent pool. You may ask, how does SquadQL actually do this? The app connects directly with your Yahoo, ESPN, and CBS leagues, pulling in your actual roster and your league scoring system. SquadQL provides waiver and trade recommendations, plus the app gives you player rankings each week, and it's all based on your league settings. SquadQL truly is your go-to app this fantasy football season. Head to squadql.com to download SquadQL, your all-in-one fantasy football manager. SquadQL is brought to you by the creators of RotoQL, the leading daily fantasy lineup optimizer trusted by 100,000 DFS players. You can also download RotoQL for free for both Apple and Android.
All right, moving on.
Hey, sports fans, football season's here, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. MyBookie is the industry-leading sports betting website that offers real Vegas odds on football, baseball, and all your favorite sporting events. You can take a side, the total, or even fantasy points props. MyBookie lets you bet online and win big. Did the game already kick off? Don't sweat it. MyBookie has in-game live betting on every major league and event, even esports. There's no better time to join MyBookie than today. Go to MyBookie to open an account and start winning. Use promo code CHAMPION when you register for your account and get a 100% sign-up bonus up to $1,000 on your first deposit. Bet today. Visit MyBookie's website or call 844-866-2387. That's 844-866-2387. Check them out today and use promo code CHAMPION for a 100% bonus. Terms and conditions apply. For entertainment purposes only. Void where prohibited.
On to news item number 3. The Houston Chronicle expects Dante Foreman to open the season on the reserve PUP list, which would mean he would miss at least the first 6 games of 2018. So, Pat, Lamar Miller would obviously be the biggest beneficiary of this situation. So are you pretty comfortable drafting him at his current ADP? And are there any backups in Houston that interest you at all?
So I guess I am not – I wouldn't say comfortable getting him at his current ADP because he has got a fourth-round ADP, at least according to Fantasy Pros. That was the last site I checked with him. Like, I'm comfortable with his positional ADP, like running back – I think it's running back 20 or running back 21. I'm fine with that. It's just that I think I would rather be drafting wide receivers in rounds 3 and 4. I just don't see – I think at that point in most drafts, the wideouts are just kind of smoking the running backs for value. The value proposition of the receivers you can get in round four is just so much better, I think, than it is for the running backs, who are kind of a, you know, an iffy cohort of Lamar Miller and Alex Collins and, you know, Ajay, if he even lasts to that point, when I think I would rather just wait around and get Marshawn Lynch. And, you know, last I looked, Marshawn Lynch was going a full round after Lamar Miller. And honestly, you know, I think it's like a 50-50 as to who has a better season. And I might even give a slight edge to Lynch. What worries me a little bit is the offensive line, you know, that we have seen this decline from Miller over the last 2 years in efficiency. And maybe it's the change of venue, but I don't think it helps that the Texans are not projected to have a very good line this year. And maybe having a mobile quarterback back again, Watson, maybe that'll help and widen some of the running lanes a little bit. But I'm just not real excited about Miller. You know, I don't mind him at that point in the draft, but I guess I'm not eagerly looking to draft him in the fourth round. It's just not a round where I'm generally going running backs. And as for the backups, oh man. Yeah. So if Foreman does not come back, if he's not good to go, you know, immediately after 6 weeks and, you know, really a torn Achilles, that's a tough injury for a running back to come back from. Boy, what are we left with? Alfred Blue again. And I know Alfred Blue actually out-carried Miller pretty severely down the stretch last year. But I think by this point, we know what Alfred Blue is. You know, Tyler Irvin, who was kind of exciting when he came into the league and then sort of quickly extinguished any excitement. So I guess I'm not too excited about any of the backups. You know, if Lamar Miller tweak something, I guess you have to have Alfred Blue on speed dial on waivers if you need running back help, but excited would be the wrong word, I think.
Yeah, I kind of miss the days of the early best ball drafts where Lamar Miller was just going, you know, in like the late sixth, early seventh, sometimes he slipped into the eighth, and you know, those days are long gone. A lot of, like, the secret about Donta Foreman, which was actually written about on RotoViz by Dr. Jeff Butoff back in February about, you know, the possibility that Foreman's not going to be 100% this year. There was, you know, that was something that I was eagerly taking advantage of way earlier. Now I'm completely out in his draft price. Although I am a fan of Miller's, I just, like you said, the fact that he's now in the fourth round is just not something that I'm looking to really pay up for, because there's other guys I'd rather draft around him. I'm just glad I got him into my best ball for portfolio where I did. And I'd rather take a wide receiver in that range.
Yeah, exactly. The price, you know, there was definitely like a malaise with Lamar Miller in those spring best balls. You know, he was not sexy pick, but I think as just the rookie running back class has sort of, you know, it lost its luster a little bit. Well, with the Geis injury and then the Sony Michel and Rashad Penny, you know, the poor trajectory for both of them so far in their NFL careers. That's, you know, suddenly it's any port in a storm for running back twos. And, you know, Lamar Miller is a lot more attractive in drafts, and it's definitely pushed him up. But, you know, in the fourth round, when there are still some, you know, really good wide receivers there, like, I just can't take Lamar Miller over, oh, man, what would be a, I'm trying to think of a good example. Who's a fourth round wide receiver?
Allen Robinson.
Yeah, exactly. There's no way I'm taking Miller over Allen Robinson. So perfect example.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. You know, I'm glad you mentioned Tyler Irvin. He's someone I really liked coming into the league. He obviously hasn't had a ton of opportunity. Tore his patellar tendon last year in week 4, I believe. But it sounds like, you know, his recovery is going basically as well as anyone could have expected. He had 5 targets in each of his first 2 games last season, with Foreman healthy. So I don't know. He's someone who, I might think about targeting in late rounds of really deep best ball leagues, like an FFPC league. But does he interest either of you in 2018?
Yeah, as you said, Blair, I mean, the profile was definitely attractive. I think he was a lot of, someone a lot of people were interested in his rookie year and someone who looked like he could possibly pop. And, yeah, I mean, what would it take to pass Alfred Blue? You know, just a little more versatility. And, we know Irvin can catch passes. He's definitely shiftier than Blue is. With so little there, I mean, just like, even though Miller has been pretty durable throughout his career, but, running back durability in the NFL is all pretty relative. And which is to say that, these guys get hurt so often, there really is no such thing as running back durability, I feel like. So, he would be an interesting depth play in a big draft like that, in an FFPC or in this one I've got coming up where it's 16 teams in 24 rounds. Like, he's going to get picked in that league,
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Irvin is, even though he's, I guess, technically been in the league a couple of years, he's still pretty much an unknown. I mean, he's, played just a handful of, only 4 games last year, not even that, basically 3. And I think he only has had double-digit snaps in maybe 3 games in his career so far. So, I guess it's possible there's like some hidden upside, is kind of what I'm thinking.
I wonder if the Texans are going to be a team that will add running backs once the cutdown occurs. You guys have talked a little bit about their depth and just sort of it being kind of wanting. This might not be how they want the running back bench to look like when they're heading into the season here. Do either of you guys think that there's any potential, free agents or guys who end up not making the 53-man who the Texans could be likely to bring in, or are we just going to wait and see what happens?
That wouldn't surprise me. Like, if, now that the Jets have signed West, we mentioned them earlier. I mean, I thought Trenton Cannon has looked kind of interesting, and he's sort of raised my eyebrows a little bit as a, I thought he was going to make the Jets with Elijah McGuire being out. I thought he might open the season as the number 3, but now they've brought in Charcandrick West. Maybe he doesn't make the roster and maybe he floats out there, or, I'm sure there are some other people like that who, are part of a slightly deeper running back stable. Maybe it's possible. Could the Giants cut Jonathan Stewart now that he's, behind, pretty clearly behind Wayne Gallman, I think. I don't know what sort of hit they'd take if, what the financial implications are. I don't have the Spotrac numbers up in front of me, but yeah, so it does seem like they are a candidate to possibly bring in someone else, just knowing that they're kind of, playing dangerously with their depth after Miller.
Yeah, the Chiefs have rostered behind Hunt and Ware. They've got Damian Williams, Kerwin Williams, and the rookie Darrell Williams is completely showing out here in preseason. So I wonder if one of those 3 guys doesn't make the roster, and I wonder if they find their way over to Texas.
Yeah, that's interesting. Too many. There's a Williams limitation in the Kansas City backfield. Someone's got to go.
Samaje Perine did not play in the Redskins' 3rd preseason game. Perine is still sidelined after injuring his ankle in the 2nd preseason game, and he is playing behind Rob Kelly even when healthy. And that was before Adrian Peterson entered the picture. Pat, who do you expect will lead this team in carries? And are there any Washington running backs besides Chris Thompson that you would like to roster in 2018?
Oh, man. So I've got to admit, I'm really stumped on what to make of Adrian Peterson right now. And, I had a friend text me a couple hours before talking to you guys tonight about whether he should pick up Adrian Peterson. And it's a like a 10-team casual office league for him. And, you know, I said why not, because for some reason he was carrying a second quarterback behind Aaron Rodgers, and just said you don't need Dak Prescott on your team when you've got Aaron Rodgers in a 10-team league. So, sure, drop Dak and pick up Adrian Peterson and see what happens. But, like, if he had said, hey, should I drop Corey Clement to pick up Adrian Peterson, I'm not sure what I would have told him, you know. And I'm actually a Corey Clement fan. So I'm curious to know what you guys think, because right now, I mean, I'm inclined to bet that Adrian Peterson is going to be the leader in carries for them this year. Because I know a lot of people want to say he's totally cooked. And, you know, within his brief reign for the Cardinals last year, he looked very good and very cooked within the span of a few weeks. And, you know, maybe part of that was that he was just not physically able to meet the demands of what the Cardinals were asking of him. And I was kind of surprised that the Cardinals just picked this guy up and ran him into the ground right away. And it worked well at first, and then it didn't work so well. So I'm not really sure what's going to happen here. And, you know, I do know that he does seem a little bit more positioned for success this year than he was with the Cardinals. The offensive line is a lot better with the Redskins. He's not going to have to be a workhorse because they've got Thompson to play on passing downs and as a change of pace guy. And, you know, they also have Fit Rob, as it were, here. So, you know, maybe this actually is a spot where, as sort of the head of the committee, Peterson could potentially thrive this year. I don't know. What do you guys think? Maybe you guys think he's cooked, or maybe you guys are on board. I'm curious to get your take.
Well, I'm definitely inclined to believe that he's cooked, as you say. But, you know, at the same time, I thought P. Ryan was a decent prospect coming out. I didn't even think he was really all that bad last year. But Washington obviously did, since they drafted Geis and now are bringing in Peterson after Geis is hurt. So, you know, they clearly don't believe in P. Ryan. Probably the guy I'm most interested in, and I guess it's just because it looks like he has the opportunity, is Kelly. But I don't know. Even that is a little bit hard to say. Yeah, you know, I wouldn't put it past the Redskins to give Peterson a lot of carries, even if he is cooked. So you may be right.
Yeah, I mean, volume is the name of the game at the running back slot, right? And so that's kind of what you want to buy when you're buying one of these guys. P. Ryan really didn't come on until both Chris Thompson and Rob Kelly went on IR, but to be fair to P. Ryan, before Rob Kelly went on IR, he was absolutely atrocious. You know, P. Ryan at least kind of showed out a little bit when he was given all the volume from week 11 on. You know, he finished as a running back one back-to-back weeks against the Saints and the Giants, and then he finished just outside the running back two territory in Dallas against, you know, from weeks 13 to 16. It's just a matter of volume here, and if they're going to be splitting early down work, you know, or rotating guys in, or just making this a supremely gross committee, like, that's just nothing that I'm very, very, like, that just doesn't sound appealing to me at all. And it sounds like these are guys who you could probably get off waivers and react in terms of injury news.
Yeah, supremely gross is a pretty good way to put it. you know, and I think Thompson is if he's healthy. I mean, it's a little worrisome that he has been talking about maybe not being 100% until November. But if he is physically fit, I think we all kind of expect him to, you know, be the most valuable back in this stable from a fantasy perspective. But, you know, he's also probably not going to be the guy who's taking handoffs and on, you know, first and goal at the two. So, you know, I guess right now it looks like Peterson is probably going to be that guy. I mean, I was ready to get on board with Kelly as that guy, and I actually took him in a slow draft like 2 hours before the Redskins signed Peter. And so, yeah, now I'm not as enthusiastic about his prospects for a nice comeback season. But, yeah, maybe, I don't know. There's a lot to work itself out in that backfield, I think.
I mean, I guess the hope is that they would take all the carries they were going to give to Geis and turn those into passing attempts to Thompson and Jordan Reed and Richardson and stuff. But I don't think that'll happen.
I really can't get on board with Chris Thompson's price this season. He's going currently in MFL 10s. He's going as the RB28, and that's ahead of Rashad Penny, Sony Michel, Tariq Cohen, Kerryon Johnson, Jamal Williams, Ronald Jones. I can't get behind this incredibly high pricing on Thompson this season, especially for a guy who he balled out last year, but it's not like you can't find a similar profile later, or in Tariq Cohen, in fact.
Yeah, the odds of Thompson having that many splash plays again and having that sort of, you know, per carry, per catch efficiency and production is just, you know, pretty unlikely. So, yeah, I can't see him as a top 30 running back.
All right, well, that'll do it for this edition of the Fantasy Football Report. Special thanks to our guest, Pat Fitzmaurice. Pat, do you have anything to plug before we get out of here?
I really don't. Anyone drafting last minute this coming weekend? I just did a series on guys I'm targeting and avoiding, sort of the, you know, not exactly going deep, not the stuff you guys do at RotoViz, just sort of a basic last minute draft primer, I guess, if anyone's looking for that sort of thing. Can find that at thefootballgirl.com. And, you know, I've got a new podcast, Fits on Fantasy. If anyone wants to find that, they can check it out on iTunes or SoundCloud.
All right. Definitely be sure to check that out. Follow Pat on Twitter at Fits_FF. Please remember to rate and review the RotoViz radio channel on iTunes. For Hassan Rahim, I'm Blair Andrews. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Football Report. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the RotoViz podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.
Sports fans, football season's here, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. MyBookie is the industry-leading sports betting website that offers real Vegas odds on football, baseball, and all your favorite sporting events. You can take a side, the total, or even fantasy points props. MyBookie lets you bet online and win big. Did the game already kick off? Don't sweat it. MyBookie has in-game live betting on every major league and event. Even esports. There's no better time to join MyBookie than today. Go to MyBookie to open an account and start winning. Use promo code CHAMPION when you register for your account and get a 100% sign-up bonus up to $1,000 on your first deposit. Bet today. Visit MyBookie's website or call 844-866-2387. That's 844-866-2387. Check them out today and use promo code CHAMPION for a 100% bonus. Terms and conditions apply. For entertainment purposes only. Void where prohibited.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. much. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
They call you the Grill Master. You've seared the thickest porterhouse in the butcher shop. And as you lift that first forkful to your mouth, you savor the moment. To get amazing offers during the Mercedes-Benz summer event, like the 2019 C-Class sedan and GLC SUV, the perfect recipes of driving performance. Plus, you can enjoy 6 months of SiriusXM All Access included. The Mercedes-Benz summer event, now serving limited time offers on a select lineup of vehicles. Offers end September 3rd. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.